Paul was meeting with the elders from Ephesus at a place called Miletus. And it was in that discussion, toward the close of that discussion, that Paul quoted Jesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Now, we don't see these actual words spoken by Jesus in any of the gospel accounts. We don't see it in Matthew or Mark. We don't see it in Luke or John. But John, of course, tells us at the end of his book that there are many things that Jesus did. There are many things that Jesus said that are not recorded. John even tells us that there wouldn't be enough books in the entire world to contain all the things that Jesus said and did. But we understand that Paul was a man who was inspired by the Holy Spirit. We also understand that Luke was a man who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, as he was the writer of the book of Acts. And so we believe that these are true words spoken by Jesus Christ himself. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 is a very important passage. And there Paul tells us what Jesus said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. How many times are we reminded of that statement? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And that in and of itself is an incredible summary of what service ought to be. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But there's a little portion of this verse that I think we sometimes might overlook. Notice again what Jesus said. It is more blessed. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus is emphasizing a person who is incredibly blessed. But Jesus doesn't negate the blessing of the one who receives. Jesus doesn't say one is blessed if he gives, but he's not blessed if he receives. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. He simply says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we recognize there is a blessing in being the one who receives a gift, in being the one who receives service from someone else. Now, with these thoughts in mind, I want us to turn our attention back to the life and times of Jesus Christ. As we look this morning in Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 13. And the story that we're looking into today is a very touching story. It's in the last days of Jesus' life. It's during the Passover week. He's traveling back and forth between Jerusalem and Bethany. And on this particular night, he participates in, I guess, what we could call the second to last supper. Jesus is at the house of Simon the leper along with his disciples. And at some point during the meal, a woman who in John's account we find to be Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, this woman takes an alabaster flask. She breaks the seal and she pours this very costly, fragrant oil all over Jesus' head. John chapter 12 tells us that she used this oil also to anoint the feet of Jesus and wipe them with her hair. The story is found in three of the gospel records. It's a very touching story. And most of the time, when we look into this account, when we look into this event, we think of it as it reflects the heart and the motive of Mary. What a wonderful and an incredible example it is of this woman and her service to the Lord. But in this series of lessons, we're looking at blueprints from the model carpenter. The idea of this series is to look at the example of Jesus Christ. And yes, Mary certainly deserves her praise, even as Jesus says, this will always be as a memorial to her as long as the gospel is preached. But today, I want us to focus on Jesus, because Jesus gives us here such an incredible example of what it means to be accepting of someone else's service. If there's anything that we can possibly gain from our lesson today, I hope that we'll be able to understand that there will be times when we're the recipient of someone else's giving, There'll be times when we're the recipient of someone else's service. There'll be times when we'll be the recipient of someone else's sacrifice. They've sacrificed their money. They've sacrificed their time. They've sacrificed their effort to fulfill a personal obligation because they feel as if you're worthy of that sacrifice. And whenever that service is given for us, we need to know how to practice the art of passive service in order to receive it humbly, as we should. And so as we take a look at this story, we recognize the example of Jesus. And I want us to recognize four principles here from the example of Jesus that might go a long way in helping us to be the type of people that should receive gifts, that should receive service from others. And normally when we talk about service, we talk about giving and giving and giving and giving. And other times we think about taking and taking as something that's being ungracious. If you're a Christian, your entire life revolves around service. And sometimes I know it can be hard to be on the receiving end, but it can be an incredible service by allowing someone an opportunity to serve you. So I want us this morning to take a look at these few principles that we learn from Jesus. And we begin with the first one. Quite simply, allow them the opportunity. Look with me at verses 6 and 7 of Matthew 26. Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment. And she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And so Jesus is in the house of Simon the leper. And this woman comes to him, she breaks the flask and begins to pour it over his head. Now this oil, according to John chapter 12, the apostles thought, Judas in particular thought, it would be worth about 300 denarii. That's 10 months, the average man's wage. That was very expensive. And she pours this oil on his head, and John tells us she also pours it on his feet. But what did Jesus do? Jesus simply reclined at the table. Now, they didn't eat at tables like we do today. They reclined. The tables were low to the ground, and they reclined at their mealtime. Jesus was reclining at the table, and he simply allowed her to do it. He didn't resist. He didn't protest. He didn't say, "Now, wait a second, Mary. That's nice, but what about all of the other people here? Did you bring enough to go around? Did you bring something for them?" He didn't say, "There's something else that you could do with this. I'm afraid of what others might think." No, Jesus didn't protest. Mary didn't have to persist with him. She didn't have to persuade him. She didn't have to beg him for the opportunity to do this. No, Jesus recognized that this was a personal obligation that she wanted to fulfill. And he allowed her the opportunity to do it. Now, I've heard some say that it's harder to receive a compliment than it is to give a compliment. You ever recognize that to be true for yourself? You can give compliments all day long. You walk up to someone, you pat them on the back, you say, "You did a good job with the scripture reading. You did a wonderful job leading that prayer. You did an excellent job leading the singing this morning." You give them a pat on the back. It's easy to give someone a compliment. But when someone gives you a compliment in return, especially when it's something that's sincere, when it's something that's genuine, when they're not just exchanging pleasantries, but when they give you a sincere compliment, it can seem a little bit awkward. It's easier to give a compliment than it is to get one. And I know that all of you are a very giving people. Your life revolves around giving to others. So I want to suggest to you that for many of us, it can be easier to give a service than it is to receive it. Now, I'm not talking about someone who just takes and takes and takes and shows no gratitude in return. But for people whose lives revolve around service, receiving a gift can be an extremely difficult thing to do. You remember what happened when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? He wrapped a towel around his waist. He got down on his knees and he began to wash the disciples' feet. This was a task that was normally reserved for servants. Yes, Jesus, though, he washed their feet. He makes his way along to Peter and he begins to wash Peter's feet. And Peter says, "Lord, you're washing my feet? You'll never wash my feet." Remember what Jesus told him? He said, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Jesus was telling Peter, "Experience this with me. Share in this experience with me." And you probably remember how Peter responded. He said, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." Peter's thought beforehand was, "I should be the one serving you." But Jesus tells him, "Share in the experience with me." If there's someone who wants to give you a gift, if there's someone who wants to provide a service for you, maybe you've lost a loved one, maybe you're having some financial difficulties, maybe you just need a good friend, maybe you're wanting to develop a friendship, give them the opportunity so that you may share in the experience with them. Don't resist it. Let it be a part of your Christian service by passively and humbly allowing them to serve you. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 tells us, as Christians, we're to be devoted to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. If we refuse to allow our brothers and sisters in Christ to serve us, are we not refusing the brotherly love that's supposed to exist among us? Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Is it possible that if we refuse, if we reject, if we resist those who would give something to us, that we would also be failing to fulfill the law of Christ? Allow someone the opportunity to serve you, and you will be serving by giving them the opportunity to do it. Service is sharing God. You know, we have all kinds of definition for service, but that's really what service is. You are sharing God. Someone out in the community, they may serve because they receive satisfaction or because they see the benefits from a gift that they want to give. But as Christians, when we serve, we recognize that we're sharing God. When we serve others, we're sharing God with another person. So when someone else wants to share with us, we need to recognize that they're sharing God in their hands of service. Let's not resist God. Second principle we find in this passage: when it comes to being served by others, don't worry about what other people might think. Ignore what others might think. Verse 8. When the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." The apostles see Mary. She breaks open this oil, and you can just imagine Judas in this moment. John tells us that Judas had no concern for the poor at all. Judas just wanted the money for himself. He was stealing from the treasury. And so you can imagine the look on his face. You can imagine him gasping in horror as he sees her breaking open and of all things, pouring this oil on someone like Jesus, one who served everyone else. The Bible tells us how the disciples reacted. First of all, it says they were indignant. The word indignant comes from a Greek word that literally means to have great grief. It's a feeling or it's an emotion of great grief. And the same word is found in other places in the Gospels. In a couple of those places, it's found to describe the emotions that the Pharisees had when they saw Jesus serving others. And so the attitude the disciples had toward Mary was the same attitude that the Pharisees had toward Jesus. Then we see their self-righteousness. Why this waste? This could have been sold for a large sum of money, and that money could have then been given to the poor. If you look at Mark chapter 14, verse 5, it tells us they scolded Mary. Let's look at verse 11 in Matthew 26. This is part of how Jesus responded. He said, "For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." Jesus shared with them a relative principle that we would do well to remember ourselves. There will always be somebody else to serve. There will always be somebody else. If someone decides out of the genuineness and the love in their heart to give you something, there will always be someone else they could have served instead. If someone tries to provide for you a service and to make a sacrifice for your life, there's always someone else that they could have given it to, someone else they could have done something for. Jesus knew this. Mary knew this, but Mary knew deep down in her heart. She believed deep down in her heart that no one else was as deserving as Jesus for this act of service. And I would guarantee you this. If someone wants to give you a gift, they must believe with all of their heart that there is no one else more deserving than you for that particular gift. Don't resist. Allow them the opportunity, and whatever you do, don't worry what other people might think. Probably the main reason why most of us reject or resist anyone from giving to us or serving us is simply because of pride. Now, I'm not trying to be insistent about receiving from others. If you refuse a gift, I don't believe that's necessarily a sin. But if you refuse it on the basis of pride, it has become a sin. If you feel shameful about something and someone wants to help, don't worry about what other people think. If you feel embarrassed about some situation that you're in and someone wants to help, don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry about what they think. Because if you do, you may resist somebody from having the opportunity to be actively involved in serving. Practice passive service. And by all means, don't let pride be the cause of your refusal. Pride is the companion of loneliness. And it could be that if we resist service from another person, we may create a separation between the love that that person wants to share with us and our own lives. We go back to our text. We take a look at verses 10 and 12. So there we find a third principle that we recognize from Jesus, and that is there is a greater service. There's a greater service that's involved. Looking at verse 10. "But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me.'" Verse 12, "In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial." And so Jesus now, he turns and he scolds the disciples. Once they were scolding Mary, but now he's scolding them. He tells them, "She has done a good deed for me. She has done something beautiful." If someone wants to give you a gift, if someone wants to serve you, you recognize that it's a good deed. But beyond being a good deed, it's something that is beautiful. Recognize the love from which the gift comes. Recognize the sacrifice of time that was dedicated in order to offer that to you. Recognize that it's more than just the physical gift. Even if it's your yard that someone came over and mowed for you. Look at it beyond the beauty of the yard and see the work, see the effort that was a part of it. See it as something that was beautiful. Jesus didn't just think this was some great service she did because of how expensive the oil was, or that she did it in front of his friends, but that she did it from her heart. He saw that it was beautiful. But then he took it a step further, and he recognized just how incredible it was. He said, "She did this to prepare me for my burial. It was for a greater good." I'm not sure that Mary truly understood that Jesus was about to die. The disciples who continually learned from Jesus, they had difficulty understanding this idea. But regardless of whether she knew it or not, she provided a service that had a greater good than just the act that she was involved with. Once again, I'll tell you, if someone has a desire to serve you, there is a greater good involved. And how do we know that? Well, we know it by looking at the teachings of the Scriptures. In Matthew 25, verse 40, as Jesus was describing those who were on the right hand, and they were wanting to know, "How did we serve you, Lord?" He tells them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." You give someone a little gift, and you're giving a big gift to the Lord. You share with someone a little bit of service, and you're sharing a great service to the Lord. There is always a greater good that's being accomplished. I want to share with you another passage. And again, I'm not trying to be overly insistent about this, but I want us to seriously consider this morning. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, John tells us, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Do you see what John is laying out there for us? He is showing us that service is equated to Jesus laying down his life for us. And so that begs the question, what does it say if we refuse service? If service is equated to Jesus laying down his life for us, what does it say if we refuse the service of others? One last principle I want us to look at, and we'll close with this principle. Remember the blessing. Remember the blessing. Remember them. They should be remembered. Remember it as a blessing. Verse 13, Jesus tells his disciples this. He says, "Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." And think about what we're doing today. Yes, we're talking about the example of Jesus, but we can't do that without talking about Mary. And which one of us can think about Mary without a smile on our face, or at least a smile in our hearts? To know that someone was willing to make such a sacrifice out of love, out of conviction, for Jesus, who was about to go to the cross. It's recorded in 3 of the gospel records. And wherever the gospel is preached, this story will always follow her, because this act of service will always be connected to the sacrificial work of our Savior. Regardless of how a person may serve you, whether it's a gift or a service or some type of sacrifice, there will always be a connection. There'll be a connection for how you got back up on your feet. There'll be a connection with that person and how you might serve others. There'll always be a connection from the giver to you and from the gifts that you received to the gifts that you will eventually give. And by remembering that, you will always remember that God has blessed you through the hands of another person. We should always remember that the blessings of God are oftentimes fulfilled in the hands of the people who surround us in our lives. James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Sometimes those good and perfect gifts are brought to us in the hands of those who surround us. Remember them. Remember them. This morning, the gospel invitation is open. And this is an opportunity for you to ask for the prayers of the church on your behalf. It's an opportunity that if you've not been immersed into Christ, you can have your sins completely washed away, completely forgiven, even this morning. You can be immersed into Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. This morning, simply know the model carpenter has laid out a plan for your life. If you'll simply allow him the opportunity to teach you, to instruct you, and to guide you, he has a plan for you. If you'll simply come while we stand and sing.